you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota's hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power, savings with style, and tons of top tech. Think you can stand in our way? Think again. Toyota Hybrids. Toyota. Let's go places.
Yo, I mean, how many pods so far I've done where I'll be in the middle of a thought, and this is why I don't go back and listen to pods, because anybody listening to the pod be like, what just happened? Did he have a stroke? Like, is everything okay? Meanwhile, I'm rifling through trying to figure out which window I should close.
Hey man, that's what the edit button's for. You're not on talk radio anymore. You can slice it and dice it and cut it up.
I want the essence though, you know? One shot golf is what they used to call me.
That could go a few different directions.
Take it easy. it's a blessed Monday morning when we're sitting here recording this. Shout out to Toyota, right? On the Bulls Talk podcast, here Rob Schaefer and Jason Goff. Rob, I love the fact that the training camp kind of vibe is happening, and we're looking for stories, we're getting quotes. You and KC have done a terrific job these first couple of days here. I've been reading all the stuff you guys put out, and I don't know what you have in mind for today's pod, but I would just like to start with the piece that you wrote for NBCSportsChicago.com about the randomness of the offense and how things have to start to take a different form and a different shape. Shout out to Tony Gill and Philpy. Man, I read that piece, and all I read was, hey, DeMar DeRozan's going to have to score differently. Yeah. it jumped out at me in so many different ways, like the randomness part, the isolation baskets. It was a pivotal moment, or I won't say pivotal, but a turning point in the declaration of where they thought they were, as opposed to how much fun we were having watching this team last year. When the moment Billy Donovan came back from COVID, and he was like, yo, y'all had a lot of fun with these game winners, but this ain't sustainable and this ain't going to work. And from that moment on, we kind of watched this team through a different lens, even though people were already doing that. We were like, hey, you can't keep relying on game winning jump shots from a mid-range shooter, which is now one of the tougher shots to hit in the game when defenses are focusing on you and guys can collapse a lot easier. I read your piece and I thought to myself, a guy has established himself in his first year with an organization as being a certain thing, and I wonder how you're going to relay that into, hey, we can probably win if you don't do what you did last year but are productive in a different way. Am I reading too much into that? Because I don't think that when we talk about this, we're talking about Zach and obviously the other guys on the team. You know, they eat after the first two big dogs eat. So am I reading too much into the guy who takes the most difficult shots and hit him at what can be viewed as an unsustainable clip going forward is going to have to change some of the ways that he gets his offense, and they're going to have to run more. It all comes back to defense, obviously, but as soon as I read it, I was like, man, this is to me, this is not taking aim at DeMar DeRozan, but if DeMar DeRozan is going to score the same way, then you're going to have some of the same questions.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to start, is that none of it felt like Billy taking shots at DeMar by any means, because I mean, he gives him a ton of credit because he was capital G great last year. And you know, the Bulls, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because the Bulls making the playoffs in the way that they did, and you know, having the 10 games over 500 season, which we all acknowledge are steps forward, a lot of that is attributable to him, because he was, you know, he steered the ship during the worst injury plagued stretches of the year, during the dog days of the season. And he carried them to a lot of wins. But some of my favorite parts of that that piece, and thanks for reading it and talking about it, were just the moments of Billy Donovan clarity, which we have become a little accustomed to over the last two or three seasons. like him saying, and I love this quote because it's 100% true, that he said people don't want to acknowledge it. I don't know who he was talking about by people, by the way. I don't know if he meant media or whoever. Like, I was like, all right, Billy, we'll talk about it more. Like, that the team was a little smoke and mirrors last year. But what he basically said was, and I've talked to the team about this, I'm speaking as Billy now, we're two DeMar DeRozan buzzer beaters away from being in the play-in tournament last year. And you look at the season a whole lot differently, you know, if that plays out the way it does. So I think the thing you have to hope is that the Bulls are better positioned to, you know, have a guy like DeMar and have the team in general make these types of bigger picture adjustments, because they're coming in with it as a focal point into training camp, as opposed to trying to do all this stuff on the fly. Well, we don't know, this guy's injured, we don't know when he's coming back, we don't know what team we have, yada, yada, yada. Now they kind of know the group they have, and it's a healthier group than they were at the end of last year, because mostly because Zach's 100%, and the balance between him and DeMar was a lot better offensively when Zach was healthy for the first, or 100% healthy, I should say, for the first 2 months of last season. The problem is, I think a key, it always comes back to Lonzo, but a key to a lot of this is Lonzo, because their identity was so predicated on the turnovers, getting out in transition and playing fast in that way. And there was, that's where the randomness comes in, right? Is when you're playing with tempo and everyone feels kind of acknowledged in the offense. You got to be, you got to stay ready because the ball could come to you at any point. It's popping around side to side. So without the promise of Lonzo coming back, I think that's what makes it a huge challenge to me. And it puts me in wait and see mode with the offensive changes. I think they're emphasizing the right things now, though, because, I mean, you look at the numbers. I mentioned this briefly in the piece. The defense was a much bigger problem down the stretch of last year than the offense was. But that doesn't mean that the offense wasn't an issue, because it was stagnant. It was predictable. And, you know, Billy has these – Billy's not a big stats guy. He from day one said, you know, film and analytics, there's got to be a balance between the two. I'm never going to lean fully on one, but I like to have both. But he has – it's interesting to hear the stats that he brings up consistently. And he talked about drives. He talked about paint touches. And, you know, every time he gets asked about something that fans bring up a lot, and I've been saying it since the beginning of last season, so I agree it's a huge problem, the three-point volume. Every time Billy gets asked about that, he says the way we have to juice those numbers is drive and kick, paint touches, play inside out. And then you go and look at the numbers. Yeah, the Bulls were 24th in drives per game last year. They were 27th in paint touches per game last year. And 27th in assist rate. Like, the offense was very mid-range dominant. They got to the rim at the 15th best rate in the league, so like right around average, but they were better than that, you know, in the rebuilding year, the year before. So, you know, again, this randomness stuff, it's hard to pin down on, because what does that specifically mean? We kind of won't know until we see it, because it seems like it's really just going to be a product of guys playing together and knowing how to play off of each other and playing in ways that are maybe even unpredictable to them, because so they get the other team off guard. But, you know, I think if you're a Bulls fan, you have to hope that this emphasis coming into camp means there's more ball and player movement. There's more cutting. There's more, you know, playing off screens. And more than anything, there's just more fluidity. Like, here's something the Bulls were near the top of the league at. It's pick and roll frequency. How many possessions last year started with a basic pick and roll, and then if that doesn't go anywhere, it's just kind of like, all right, pull it back out, get it to Zach or DeMar, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's still going to be some of that because they're great isolation players and you have to enable them, because that's, you know, one of the Bulls' strengths as a team, especially down the stretch of close games, which they were largely good in. But as Billy Donovan says, they weren't good against the elite teams. They weren't good at much against the elite teams. But I think you have to hope that there's a little bit more diversity and a little bit more of a kind of like open and free flowing nature to the offense, because as much as the defense is a point of concern, without Lonzo for the foreseeable future, the Bulls we've talked about this. Bulls have to be a team that outscores people. And for that to happen, you know, these offensive adjustments have to take hold.
Well, I want to get back to a couple of things that you mentioned, because with the continuity that this team has championed this year and this offseason, it shouldn't be hard to kind of get this message across to the same guys, right? Andre Drummond and Dalen Terry and Goran Dragic should find their way into whatever the offense is supposed to be. And the other thing, you know, Lonzo Ball isn't a traditional pick and roll point guard. No. So the pick and rolls that you saw last year were by their main ball handling scorers in Zach LaVine and in DeMar DeRozan. I'm looking forward to seeing what Ayo Dosunmu could be as far as not just, you know, second year Ayo Dosunmu and guy who's potentially, if not starting, getting a bulk of those minutes that Lonzo has vacated with the injury. If Ayo Dosunmu is a more traditional pick and roll point guard, that leaves for short corner stuff. That leaves for kicking out to the wing if people are collapsing on Vooch or whoever the four is. Like, this is why, and it always comes back to Pat Williams, but this is why Patrick Williams being aggressive on the offensive end is so important, because if you can get Patrick Williams early in the game being the screener and the roller, or the screener and the fader, and taking the eyes off the defense for years, like the first 6-7 years that we watched the Cleveland Cavaliers have LeBron James, and I'm not comparing LeBron James to anybody on this team, but people took shots at Mike Brown's offense because the ball not only was always in LeBron's hands, but the eyes were always on LeBron. So it had to be that much harder for him to score. When the eyes are all – like, I don't think people realize how difficult a season DeMar DeRozan had to accomplish what he accomplished last year. All eyes were on him, and then after the injury to Zach, more eyes are on you. So if you can get something going where the pick and roller – like the two-man chemistry that you have to evolve between Ayo Dosunmu and Patrick Williams, or Ayo Dosunmu and Nikola Vucevic. The times when Ayo was getting busy early on was him and Vooch, like he was finding Vooch, and Vooch talked about it. So if Vooch and Ayo are playing at a certain level and a certain chemistry, then all of a sudden you've got a wing scorer who's scoring 27, 26 points a game on one side, and another wing scorer who's scoring 25 points a game on another side, and the defense is having to be compromised by two guys who aren't exactly the biggest offensive threats on the floor, leaving open shots for those dudes, as opposed to Zach LaVine having to initiate a pick and roll, or opposed to DeMar DeRozan always having to initiate a pick and roll in late game situations. Listen to what Arturis Karnišovas and Billy Donovan are saying. Arturis Karnišovas said he wanted them to be more than the one-dimensional team that they were at the end of games last year. It's not a knock on DeMar DeRozan. It's just easier to defend. So if Ayo Dosunmu can give that other facet, that other aspect to that point guard position with now another year under his belt, he's got a different Rolodex in terms of how he is scouting people and how they are defending him. He's more knowledgeable of it. He's got a different confidence, different body. If you can get more pick and rolls from the point guard position instead of from the wing position, you know, these 2-5s or these 3-5 pick and rolls and 1-4, 1-5, it opens up all that offensive stuff that we talked about. But in the end, defensively, like, if your best three players aren't more accountable on the defensive end, then you're going to be taking the ball out of the net a lot, and defense is going to be set. It's a simple game with complex variables, and I think the Bulls are trying to figure that out in training camp right here, because they know what the expectation in the baseline is in terms of what they can be. Now they're trying to get over what they were last year.
Yeah, I think so. The Ayo thing, I think he's a great person to look at from like the perimeter shot creation, like the initiating side of things. What you brought up with Pat as a screener, on the other side of the coin, that element of his game I don't think is talked about a lot when we talk about the quote-unquote leap or the quote-unquote step forward for Patrick Williams. Because
yeah, it's just shots.
What do we think of as a leap? Yeah, doubling his scoring average, right. You know, running pick and rolls himself, getting to that, you know, pull-up midi, yeah. Like dunking on people. But in reality, like if he could become a reliable, like you said, screen and roll, screen and pop threat, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic and I were talking about this in the media room. Shout out Darnell the other day. Like, when you think of the Bulls' best pick and roll tandems from last year, like you said, it's DeMar and Vooch. That's the first one I think of, at least. Then you go to Zach and Vooch or Ayo and Vooch. Like, how many great screeners do the Bulls have? Like, it's an interesting thing to think when we talk about, oh, they play a lot of small ball lineups, or hey, the front court, the depth is thin. You know, people think about that for rim protection and rebounding, but screening is another element where that becomes a thing. And
got to get people open, man.
Got to get people open. And Billy had an interesting, I didn't include it in the piece, but he had an interesting bit the other day where he was talking about kind of the diversity with which the Bulls are going to want to use, like maybe use guard screeners at times. And you saw that a little bit last year. One of their most effective plays, you know, at the end of quarters was that DeMar Zach screen and roll, screen and pop, whatever you want to call it. Just a ball screen. And that's so devastating because now you've taken their two most, not only their two most devastating offensive players and scorers, their two most unpredictable. Like if you have Zach Lean setting a solid screen for DeMar DeRozan, he could roll, he could pop, he could fade out. You can't blitz DeMar because then you've got Zach LaVine running free somewhere else. So, you know,
and that baseline, not to cut you off, I apologize, but that baseline becomes an even trickier area if you don't have to worry about those guys handling the ball at all times. Like the slingshot screens that we saw the Golden State Warriors make famous on the baseline between Steph Curry and Klay Thompson is because Draymond Green was allowed to be the orchestrator at the top of the key. Like taking the eyes off of your two best players is something that NBA basketball is like that. That is a plus. Like if you don't have to have the defense focusing in on you. So, but go ahead. I'm glad you mentioned the screening part.
Because where Patrick Williams comes into the equation there is, one, they could use, another good screener. It also helps the front court versatility. I think they're going to try Pat at the five, a little bit this year, or at least in the preseason, because they did that at the beginning of last year. And I think they would have done it more if he hadn't gotten hurt, obviously so early into the season. And, again, everything is theoretical with Patrick Williams, but that is part of his skill set, right? It's the whole, whether you want to talk about getting in the pocket and either, using your athleticism or that mid-range jumper or that floater to score, or, he talks about loving to facilitate, like facilitating offense other places. Then you get the randomness cuts, like you said, cuts from the baseline when he's playing in that pocket in the 4-on-3 situation. I think that is, it doesn't get talked about a lot. I haven't mentioned it because this has just started popping in my head as we're getting into camp and seeing, talking to people and seeing how things are playing out.
Yeah.
That is something I'll be looking at from Pat as a way to, again, is becoming a better screener and a better screen and roll or screen and pop partner for the Bulls' main ball handlers. Is that going to get him most improved player like Tony Gill wants him to win? Like, not necessarily, but it could be, a big developmental piece that could really, really, really help the Bulls. And, the biggest thing offensively, and again, I think the defense is just fully a conversation for another day. But offensively, the thing that I would be focused on is just being more multifaceted, being more unpredictable, making it more difficult to key in on Zach and DeMar, and to a slightly lesser extent, Vooch. That obviously makes those individuals' lives easier. Like, if you don't think Zach LaVine is on board for these types of changes, like he absolutely is.
Yeah.
I got a quote from him in the story, that the story on NBCSportsChicago.com you were mentioning earlier, where he's talking about, like, we want it to be less easy for opposing defenses to set themselves and load up on me and DeMar. We want quick reads, fast decisions, ball moving side to side, people moving with and without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everybody's lives easier. And most importantly, it makes the Bulls a better team. And everybody here, again, this is why nothing's a shot at anybody, because everybody here wants to win. Billy acknowledged at the time last year when the injury struck and DeMar kind of took the reins, in a way, that was what was best for the team in the short term to win games. And he was like, the balance was tricky because you got a group of guys that wants to win. But he said it again, and he said it in the moment. At the same time, you see the team turning into what it was turning into, the offense, becoming so reliant on difficult shot making, your first thought is this sustainable? But it was so good in the moment. It turns out obviously it wasn't sustainable against the elite competition in the East. Obviously injuries factor into that. But at this rate, the Bulls have the team that they are going to have coming into the season, coming into camp. And, we'll see what it looks like. But if I'm a fan, I would at least be cautiously optimistic that this is a focal point, because it's something that people on the outside have been talking about for a long time. And it's just good, I would say if you're somebody that was worried about that from the outside, it's good to know that that sentiment is echoed on the inside and it's at least being focused on.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm looking forward to some of these rotations too, right? Because what Andre Drummond does to the way that DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic play together or not is huge, right? Because when we talk about those rotations, you know, Vuce and DeRozan last year at least got their offense in similar spaces. So if Vuce goes to the bench and Andre Drummond comes into the game, you know, do you immediately throw Zach in there, or do you say, hey, DeMar, this is where you're going to be able to roam now a little bit more because Vuce is on the bench. Zach having a screening big who he doesn't have to worry about getting the basketball. Patrick Williams playing those kinds of lineups as well. So, you know, I'm wondering with all the emphasis that this team has put on not just what they have to be defensively, because now Lonzo Ball is not going to start the season and who knows when he'll be back. I'm wondering how long it's going to take to get some of these rotations, because as we mentioned, there's only three new players on this squad that are going to be of material substance. Like, how those rotations change with those two guys and Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond and what they present for you offensively and defensively, and what we saw last year when Vuce and DeMar were on the floor at the same time. Who's the first person off the bench? You're pushing up your roster essentially because no Lonzo. Like, these preseason games and this training camp, like, this isn't just some stay healthy and get to the first game and October 19th and let's take off here. There's some real formulas that have to get mixed here before you come out with not the finished product, but the product that you're going to start with on October 19th.
Totally. You remember last preseason, Billy talked, you know, all through camp and through preseason saying, we're going to play our guys.
Yeah. Because
at the time they were a completely new team.
Right.
And they had to get a feel for each other. And what we saw in preseason, which, you know, people might have said we were overreacting to it in the moment, but you saw the style of play that then went on and was instantly successful in, granted, early season, but
defending
season
and running
games that matter. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I think the preseason is important for that reason. I look at it more with the guard room, only because now the center spot to me is pretty simple. Vuce plays 30 to 35 minutes a game. Right. Andre Drummond plays the rest, you know, and I think they had that rotation somewhat ironed out in terms of when Vuce was on or off the floor. It's just now you have a stabilizing guy that can actually eat those minutes as opposed to a hodgepodge of, well, does Tony Bradley or Derek Jones Jr., like, who has it tonight, basically, or who's best for this matchup? You have a guy that you're going to lean on that backup center spot. You're probably going to lean on night in, night out, which is good, it's a good improvement. It was a good signing.
Yeah, for they needed it.
They needed it. But the guard room will be interesting because I think we have an idea that Goran Dragic is going to play a role on this team. We have an idea that Io is going to play a role. Alex Caruso is obviously going to play a role. Kobe White is going to play a role. But how do these guys look in preseason? What do these combinations, lineup combinations, look like? Because that's what Billy is so focused on. The preseason, that's like almost the only thing other than procedural offense. Like, are we seeing that randomness? Are we seeing, you know, if they have 25 turnovers in a game because they're trying to do too much in terms of ball movement, that's fine. That's what preseason's for. Right. But, you know, is the offensive process stuff taking hold? Defensively, you know, for the minutes that matter, quote unquote, in preseason, are they competing? And like Billy says, I mean, it's coach speak, but he's emphasizing it a lot, you know, helping each other. I think that's a huge thing this year because they just don't, without Lonzo, they just don't have the same assortment of individual defenders that they used to. So it has to be a team emphasis. And then who looks spry, who looks good among the guard room, and which combinations of guards look like they can hold up together. Because with, you know, again, underrated aspect of the roster, the wing depth behind Pat and DeMar is not bountiful. So you're going to see those three guard lineups again. What is the combination of those that that works? And, you know, how does a guy like Goran look fresh off a Eurobasket? I imagine he'll look pretty good. He's mentioned, I mean, again, he wasn't 36 his whole career, but he's mentioned that every time he's played internationally over the summer, he's come into the season in great shape. That's like the advantage. Kind of depends how you look at it.
right.
You know, and then how does Caruso look fresh off the off season? He said he's put a lot of work into his body to try to be more durable. Kobe, you know, he's talked about a lot about the improvements he's made first full NBA off season. Io, we've heard about it from him. We've heard about it from KC. Like he could be in for a monster year. That is, it's obvious, but that is the biggest thing that I'm looking at in preseason is how that battle shakes out.
Now, I think the biggest year that has to be had on this team is not the guys on the court. You know, we're going into the third year. It's the third year of the Billy Donovan era, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, a four-year deal. And we all know in the NBA, if a guy gets to that last year and doesn't have that extension, then what you're doing is sometimes, you know, cutting his legs off a little bit in that locker room in case there's a guy or two who doesn't like coach. They know the coach not coming back, or they know the coach hasn't been extended. Sometimes guys use that to their advantage. Not saying that those dudes are in this locker room, but we've had the first 2 years of, okay, you got to redo the roster. You got to teach all the defensive principles, because as an Oklahoma City Thunder coach, one of the things that was mentioned so much is that you never had a defense finish under 12th, right? So throw all the pieces together, deal with injury, deal with COVID, deal with transactions that when he took the job, you know, we heard about development and draft capital and all those other things, and all of a sudden the Vucevic trade blows all that up. The Zach LaVine ascension, you know, changes the course of action maybe a little bit. Who knows? DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball. I think this year, this is, as much as we're going to be watching stuff on the court, I think the guy that is the puppet master for this situation, and I don't mean to put it like that because these are grown men out there playing a game for a lot of money, but this Billy Donovan year is very, very important, and I think it's going to be interesting because he's talking like this now, right? We didn't hear this until the two game winners, where it's like, hey, guys, slow your roll out here. And he said it in preseason and training camp last year about how long it was going to take this team to gel, and he wasn't worried about the offense. Like most of the things that he said, he's been right about. But now people don't care how much you're right anymore. We want to see the results. We want to see the actual, you know, brass tacks. Is this team going to take the next step? And that's a lot of pressure, but hey, you know, this is why people believe he's one of the better coaches in the NBA. I think a lot of the pressure that falls on this team this year, not just on the playing side of things, but on a guy who is in third year of a four-year deal in Billy Donovan.
So this is the interesting thing, right? I talked about the moments of Billy Donovan clarity, the fact that he was so candid and saying, well, one, when he came straight out of COVID protocol last year, hey guys, the buzzer beaters are great. The 7-game winning streak, whatever it is great, but we're not even close. And we all, I'm telling you, in the press room, we all like laughed at it. We were like, come on, like you're being a hard ass, but he was 100% right. Here's the thing though. You give him credit for being right and candid in that moment, but how much credit do you take away from the fact that everything that he prophesized ended up coming true? You know what I mean? Like the necessary.
He's seen too much basketball to not understand what was coming down the pipe.
But also whoever you put accountability on, mostly the players, the coaching staff, it still fell apart in the end. True. So there has to be accountability for that. And I agree. This is a big year for, I mean, everyone involved with this management staff, the core. Like this is in some ways a make or break year, which feels silly to say 2 years into, you know, a core's time together. But when you look at the ages on the roster, the draft capital, financial, all the resource investment in this team, this is a big year. Like that goes without saying. I want to read you a quote from Zach at practice on Saturday. This was also in that offense piece. He was asked about, he was being asked about the continuity aspect, how much that helps the Bulls with some of the offensive adjustments that they're making. And he was asked about how important kind of communication is to all that. And he said, this is Zach LaVine. Yeah, I think that has to go with knowing your teammates and knowing who you can talk to and how to talk to them in certain ways, being accountable and receiving constructive criticism. I think that we have to do a little bit better job with being accountable and receiving constructive criticism. I think that's what we have to do a little bit better job with from top to bottom, coaching staff included. So I think we've gotten better with that and being able to hear and see adjustments and try to take it all in stride and be able to adjust it and put it into game form.
Hey, coach, we need to stop running this damn drop defense.
I don't take that as like a scathing, like call out, like scandalous by any means. Like this is what happens within teams, especially when they want to improve and get better. You have to have dialogue back and forth. Billy Donovan from the beginning said, I'm a coach who takes player input and, you know, I coach to my personnel. And he, you know, he even mentioned, you know, Zach, DeMar, Vooch specifically came to him with feedback after the end of last season. But when you see a quote like that, I mean, again, whoever you want to put the accountability on, you know, that's any individual person's prerogative and opinion. But the fact of the matter is, and we could see this from the outside, they were hamstrung by injuries, but also, you know, necessary adjustments by the players and the coaching staff were not made in a way that led them to success at the end of the regular season and success in the playoffs last year, which is, at the end of the day, all that matters in this league. And it's all that matters to this front office when you listen to them talk about expectations for this year. And it's second round of the playoffs, at least. So to me, I thought that quote was really interesting.
It's money.
It tells you where the players, or where at least Zach's head is at. And Billy will tell you where the coaching staff's head at every day in terms of adjustments and things that they're emphasizing. It'll be very interesting to see if and how different this Bulls team looks coming into this year as it did at the end of last year, because I've been skeptical how much progress this team can make if Lonzo's not going to be there, because it's the same group that finished last year in such uninspiring fashion. But if all it took was an offseason and training camp to get these adjustments installed and they're able to come out and play, you know, a brand of basketball that's more conducive to winning with this group, then, you know, maybe there is a chance that they could build on last year. You know, we'll have to see what happens there.
When I hear that quote, I'm enthused because it reeks of money to me. Like that, I mean, it's a dude who got his max deal and is secure in saying things that a leader should be able to say. Like top to bottom, we need self-inventory and self-awareness are the most important things in any relationship, whether it be personal or professional. And if I can't tell you that, hey, for the betterment of us, you have to be able to take this criticism from me, and I have to be able to take it from you. You know, 1 through 13, rookie to 14 year vet. If I can't tell you, like Derrick Rose talked about it in the New York Knicks media day, if a vet can't go to a rookie and a rookie can't go to a vet saying you missed a coverage, then all you're going to do is waste your time for 82 games. And with Zach, sometimes people get money and they coast. And sometimes people get money and they go, I got to prove to y'all and myself why I got this money. And all the things that are shaping up in this offseason, the things that are coming out of his mouth, the things that apparently guys are just doing, you know, the 5 a.m. workouts that Patrick Williams is on with DeMar DeRozan, like it won't be from a lack of talking and a lack of understanding. Now it's just the application, right? Because if I can say, yo, y'all got to be able to take it from us, the players, that this ain't working. You got to trust us, and we have to trust you that, you know what, this ain't working. It feels good right now, and back-to-back game winners and, you know, scoring 120 points, but it's not sustainable. Arturas Karnišovas said that the goal is to do better than they did the year before. To me, that means a playoff series win. So now what are we talking about? We're talking about Milwaukee. We're talking about Brooklyn. We're talking about Philadelphia. Are you going to be better than that? Are you going to be in the 4 range so you only have to face not only, but a Miami or a Toronto? Like, it's not going to be easy any way it goes. So if they understand that the road ahead isn't going to be easy, then, yeah, you talk this talk now because you got to get it out the way, because it has to be on record, not only for the media and the fans, but for everybody in the locker room and the organization, that if you're not coming here to get better, then this probably ain't the comfortable spot for you. And I'm appreciative of that as a Bulls fan.
Yep. Yep. And you know, this is camp. All they have are words right now.
100%.
It's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like when not only games start, but the real games start. But the one thing I would say is everybody, especially in this day and age, every team in the league has a ludicrous amounts of talent, basketball talent.
Oh yeah.
It's the greatest league in the world. That's a basketball league in the world. That's just what it is. But top to bottom, accountability is what separates when it's, you know, winning time, I would say.
Champions. So,
and I think Zach is right. I think that's 100% something the Bulls can improve upon. It's different than like the X's and O's adjustments that I think we get caught in the weeds on, especially, you know, during the grind of a regular season. But that's another thing that, you know, you come into camp, everyone's in the best shape of their life, everyone's feeling good, everyone's optimistic. It's underrated because it's not strictly basketball, but that is a principle that, you know, is a good thing to instill and to emphasize in a camp environment.
All right, so next pod we'll focus on Coby White and some of the other folks. But this is a good jumping off period as we got some preseason games coming up here. The New Orleans Pelicans, looking forward to seeing what that team looks like as the Western Conference is, I won't say up for grabs, but some of these prognostications, I'm seeing that the Warriors are barely going to make the playoffs and all these other things. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on in the West. The Clippers, last night I talked myself into feeling like the Clippers might be the best team in the West when I know damn well that that can't be the case because it's the Clippers. Like, there's a lot going on in the Western Conference, so we get a chance to see the New Orleans Pelicans coming up here on Wednesday.
100%. Yeah, the Warriors are becoming that LeBron-like figure or specter to me where it's like I'd rather be – too late to go out on them than too early. So they're the Western Conference champions until proven otherwise to me. Yeah. If I see them projected for like low 40s or high 30s wins, I'm like, come on. Like, it's ridiculous.
Which bus crashed is what I'm asking, and hopefully that doesn't happen.
Not gonna
so I look. Yeah, it look crazy if that happens like 2 months from now. It's like, oh, Goff called it. We should blame our season on him. And then you got NBC Sports Bay Area on our tails. I don't want no problems with them. I think we did a decent pod here today. We sat down. We looked each other in the eyes. I talked about your piece. You feel me?
Like, cross platform promotion there. I mean, love it. Dude, I mean, how great is it to have actual? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the games yet, but how great is it to actually have stuff to chew on as opposed to just off season pulling stuff out of thin air?
Oh, you know? My God! If it was going to be another mailbag, I was going to have to do something really drastic on this pod today. Like I was going to have to have stupid animal tricks. I got both dogs here in the office. Like, something crazy was going to have to happen here. I'm glad we have training camp to talk about. Glad we have a game to talk about. First couple of practices or whatever that you've covered so far. Anything of note that you would like to tell the Bulls fans that probably slipped through the cracks that you guys didn't get a chance to write about on NBCSportsChicago.com?
Well, I'm only three practices in or so because as I tweeted, mm-hmm. if anybody follows me on Twitter, I had COVID. I'm over it now. So I missed the very, very beginning. The offense thing was really my big takeaway and some of the, accountability-based quotes by some of the Bulls' biggest stars. I think Casey and Will did a great job of talking about the Nikola Vucevic. I don't know about a conundrum or the dynamic. Yeah. The last podcast of he wants to be used differently this year. What does that look like in this quote unquote random offense? So I would really encourage, especially like, Will Perdue in the world of NBA big men is going to have the best perspective out there. So I would say go listen to that show for some perspective on that. Cause it was a great conversation. That's another one I'm in wait and see mode on because Nicole, I believe this, like a big explanation for his shooting struggles last year. It's role adjustment. It's not having the entire offense revolve around you anymore. There's a different comfort and rhythm to that. How much is his usage varied or changed or catered to this year? Because
new money coming up too, boy.
That's it.
Last bite at the apple and the contract clocks, like with third or fourth big deal, the final one probably for his career. Like, after this is going to be shorter years and shorter money. There's a lot of little crossroads meeting here in this season, whether it be Billy Donovan, Patrick Williams, Nikola's contract, Zach getting the max, DeMar DeRozan. Is that what we saw last year? Can that be replicated and sustainable? Coby White, like, there's so many different storylines. Io, like, there's a lot going on with this team this year.
It's certainly going to be fun to watch play out. So the Vooch thing, I mean, that's a wait and see thing. The starting point guard, quote unquote, battle, that's a tough one because I don't think it's battle. It feels like too strong of a word, especially because we know Alex Caruso's closing games. It's just a matter of how the minutes get split up before that and what roles and combinations guys playing. I think I'm going to reserve judgment on having a stance on that until we start seeing some preseason action. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, other than that, it's muscle watch. Like I said, everyone's in the best shape of their lives. vibes are good. Spirits are high, which sounds like nothing. But then you go look over at like the Phoenix Suns, for example, and you actually can't take for granted that these guys all seem to like each other and that, people are excited for the start of the season.
Yeah. That Phoenix thing is, I, that might be in store for a precipitous drop off when you got an owner who has carried on the way he's carried on, and these guys all know it. Like, it's kind of like one of those office things that come out and you're like, we knew that, right? Yeah. Like, DeAndre Ayton's press conference speaks volumes to me. Then they go out there and get beat by the 36ers. I don't care how you feel about it. NBA pride is on the line. You can't let that happen. I'm sorry. So, yeah, man, the NBA, we're back in it. A couple of weeks away from opening night, we'll be hitting you in the head with all these pods that we got coming up a couple of times a week here on the Bulls Talk podcast. KC will jump in on the next one. Rob, as always, good to see you, my man. Keep churning out great content on NBCSportsChicago.com, and glad to see you back in good spirits and good health, my guy.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Toyota.
Shout out to Toyota. Go ahead and get you a 2017 Toyota Sienna like my man KC Johnson. So
KC has the 2017?
Yeah, man. And it's tricked out here too.
Good
like
for
KC. I hear there's TVs in there. You know, I hear like he's got the spinners on the side. Like he's doing what he's got to do. You know what I mean? KC Johnson, the Paul Wall of Chicago Bulls beat writers, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I hope KC looks up Paul Wall, by the way, too. So for Rob Schaefer, my main homegirl, Philpy, and of course, Tony Gill, I'm Jason Goff. Thank you, y'all, for hanging out with us on another episode of the Bulls Talk podcast.